In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we hear these readings, many thoughts go through my mind, and let's pray to the Holy Spirit to bring them all together so that we can understand the whys and the wherefores of what we just heard. And the biggest question that comes to my mind is, why was Jesus rejected? Why was he crucified? Yes, we know he died for our sins to save us all. But why? His message when he came into the world as the Son of God, sent by the Father through the Holy Spirit, was to announce the good news to the poor, to set prisoners free, to heal the brokenhearted, to unite us all as one. May they be one, Father, as we are one. It was a message of peace, of forgiveness, of mercy, of joy, of love. Love one another as I love you. It was an invitation for us to all become brothers and sisters in this world under one Father who loves us all and wants us all to come home to him for all eternity. Now, what is there in that message? I mean, it's a promise of eternal happiness. It's a promise of joy, a promise of peace, not only after we die, but now on earth, to come together as one, as sons and daughters of God, without the fighting and the wars and the discrimination and the hatred and all these things that tear us apart in this world, the tribulations and the hardships and the depressions and the anguish, anxiety. There's so many things that seems so dark at times. And yet the message of Jesus was one of, I've not come to condemn the world, but to save it. I want you all to come together, to love one another, to stop judging each other, and to live as brothers and sisters. Now, you'd think that everybody would say, yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Why don't we stop fighting and killing each other and hurting each other and doing all these bad things? And you know, look at our society today. Just turn on the news and see. And then how the ideologies have confused so many people that they don't even know what side to stand on. Now there's, why would the message of peace, joy, love, and brotherhood and sisterhood and being one family under one Father be rejected? It's rejected now as it was rejected then. If they hated me, they will hate you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Well, why? I don't see the logic behind the rejection of something that is for your good, for everybody's good. The only explanation is sin. The very first sin of Adam and Eve was, do not follow the will of God, but choose myself over him. And since Jesus asks us to die to ourselves to do the will of God, the world doesn't want to do that. So he's rejected because we prefer to satisfy number one. Our fallen human nature prefers to seek its own joy, its own pleasure, its own way, and not faithful to the way that God wants us to be. And that on a large scale, as we see in society today, and that on the individual scale, as we see in our own battle, in our own hearts, as we strive to live in accordance with, as the second reading said, the commandments of the Lord. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has loved us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. I don't know if you're paying attention to the psalm that we just read, that we just sang beautifully. It's Psalm 22. We heard it a few weeks ago. We heard it in the mouth of Jesus himself. Because Psalm 22 starts out with these words: my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, Jesus himself asked the question I just asked. Why? My God, why have you forsaken me? And if you go, I invite you to go home and read the whole Psalm 22, because it speaks about the passion that Christ will suffer. It's a prophecy about him being stripped, them dividing his clothes among them. It goes on and on about how the just one is, for no reason, being put to death, being punished. But it doesn't end there. You see, we could stay in that negative outlook of just seeing there's no answer, or we can continue to read the psalm as it's been read for us today. Because that same just one who says, my God, why have you forsaken me? As it goes through the psalm, it comes to this. I will fulfill my vows before those who fear the Lord. The lowly shall eat their fill, and they who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow down before him. To him alone shall bow down all who sleep in the earth. Before him shall bend all who go down into the dust. The same just one, my God, why have you forsaken me, will give the victory over sin and death, and thus lift people up back to the house of the Father. St. Paul was Saul of Tarsus, and he was persecuting the church until Jesus came to transform his heart. And then there was this, when he went here, the people, they were afraid. They didn't know if they could trust him. Is this a ploy? Is he just acting like he's one of us so that he can get in to kill the rest of us? What's the deal here? And so Barnabas takes hold of him, and we know the story of how St. Paul just gave his life for this message. And did St. Paul have it easy? He was beaten, he was flogged, he was shipwrecked, he was tortured for Jesus. Why? When the message that he was bringing was, no? He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He debated with the Hellenists, you know, the Greek thinkers, that's what the Hellenists are, the philosophers. But they tried to kill him. Here he's giving a message of salvation, of joy, of love. Hey, the good news. And the response of the world, they tried to kill him. My God, why have you forsaken me? No. Do we expect any more or any less for ourselves in a world today that ridicules, hates, looks down on? Does it want to accept the message of Jesus Christ? And I don't know why. I don't know why. The only answer can be pride and sin. I prefer myself over God. The rejection. St. John said in his letter, let us love children not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Maybe that's what we need to do better as members of the body of Christ, so that we can convince the world of the message of Jesus. Because oftentimes we're the first ones who are too fast to argue and judge and criticize. No. Rather than spread the good news of Jesus Christ and be willing even to suffer death to let that message be heard. This is how we shall know we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before him. If our hearts do not condemn us because we keep his commandments. Those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. And Jesus in the gospel just said to us, I am the vine, my Father is the vine grower. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. The only answer to how we can respond to the way the world rejects the message of Jesus is to remain in Jesus. To remain united to him, to bear the fruit that he wants us to bear, even if it means with him going to the cross, suffering death, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then with the full confidence, as Psalm 22 says, of knowing that, and to him my soul shall live, my descendants shall serve him. Let the coming generation be told of the Lord, that they may proclaim to the people yet to be born the justice he has shown. Psalm 22 isn't about Jesus getting depressed because he was suffering on the cross. It's about him recognizing, I'm fulfilling the prophecy that the just one will die for the salvation of the world, and his death will bring about the victory over sin and death for all those who believe in him. And so, remain in me as I remain in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me will bear much fruit, and he who separates himself from me withers away and dies. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. I was just watching a little bit of the news before I came here, and it can get depressing to see some of the evils that are going on around us in this world. It can make you wonder, where's the victory? And it is a victory in Jesus Christ, and only in Jesus Christ, because you won't get it anywhere else. You're not going to get it in politics. You're not going to get it in human governments. You're not going to get it in passing pleasures of this world that want to drag you down roads which you think are going to make you happy, but just end up leaving you empty. You know, drugs and sex and just, you know, alcoholism and all these things that we think we're going to find happiness, and all they do is empty us out. There is one and only one who is necessary. And in him, even at times when I feel, my God, why have you forsaken me? If I'm united to him, then I have the victory over sin and death. And he alone will give me the eternal joy that I long for. And not only after I die and go away from this world, but now in the midst of it, if I truly believe. Just ask God to give us the grace to understand that message. And ask the Holy Spirit to bring these things together in our own hearts so that we will remain in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.